Good morning, everyone. My name is Julius Adeopo, and I'll be making this presentation to highlight some of the what I call a proof of concept regarding the work that we're doing. We're focused on Nigeria for now. We initially intended to focus on three African countries, but drone regulation being a key issue, we've just been able to take this off the ground in Nigeria last year. So with the progression of time and slide, I'll just give a brief introduction of why we're focusing on maize. Just kind of highlight some a bit of a difference in terms of smallholder farms relative to, I understand that we have presumably mostly American people from American institutions there. You've worked in American farms. It's a totally different ball game in smallholder African farms. And I hope to highlight a little bit of that. Then I'll talk about a project, the approach. I'll dwell a little bit more on the approach, the methodology here. Then I'll highlight some results from one of the locations where we've worked. So I'd like to start with this survey that was conducted by my institute, International Institute for Tropical Agriculture, back in 2003. That's almost two decades ago. And I'm really hoping they could do something like this again. And it shows the national consumption of maize as a food crop, as a national food crop, compared to other crops. Of course, this is a fairly conservative figure relative to what the current reality. A lot of households actually depend on maize, and this is even more in other African countries. So maize definitely plays a very critical role in terms of national food security, of course, even regional food security. But maize yield has been really, really low in Nigeria, actually not just relative to the United States, but even within African countries. South Africa is way up there at 4.06 tons per hectare. Nigeria is at 1.8 tons per hectare. Now, the persuasion or the motivation for a lot of our work is not really to bring maize yield to the level of what is obtainable in the United States. We recognize the ecological the differences in agroecological zones and the differences in the potential, but research has actually shown that we can conveniently triple this production or this yield level in smallholder farming systems. But how do we do that? That's really the big question. We first have to look at a constraint and how the constraint differs from place to place. And oftentimes we ask a question: how do we actually quantify those differences that you have? In terms of yield and the yield constraint as we move from place to place. Agronomists, of course, I think we're more used to, for those who are agronomists in the room, you're more used to this or this approach where we, of course, sample a few locations and heaven helps you if you actually do cover or capture the variability that exists, across the area of interest. Of course, this would have been the best approach to actually exhaustively sample, but this is cost prohibitive and a lot of times impractical. And this brings us to the place of how do we really adopt methods that would truly look at the differences or that would capture the differences that you see from place to place, especially in small-order African systems, small-order maize-based systems in Africa where you have within about 2 hectare space. This is a picture I took from one of our studies research sites, and you're having maize and okra and cowpea and maize and soybeans and maize. It's quite complicated, and the question often that we're grappling with is how do we really quantify the yield and also quantify yield constraints when you're having this mix-match type of complex situation in farmers' field. So about 2 years ago, the Gates Foundation made an investment in this project called Taking Maize Agronomy to Scale in Africa. And this is a project, of course, that is focused on advancing maize-based systems. In Africa, three African countries were selected as pilots: Nigeria, Tanzania, and Ethiopia. So the big question that Gates Foundation, or the big interest of Gates Foundation, is how do we really account for these differences in variability and constraint as we move from place to place within country and between countries? And the question is, how do we really explain and address issues like this where almost in the same geography you have this kind of situation of maize planted at the same time and this kind of situation? And of course, this leads to imbalances, you know, in terms of the income and the prospect for the farmers to actually move out of the poverty cycle. So we know, at least from a documentary research, that there's a yield gap, and that's a big concern. There's a yield gap that is more than 50% in terms of what the farmers could attain versus what they currently attain. And the goal for Temasek is really to look for, to promote ways or to develop and promote ways by which we can optimize yield and assess the yield and associated yield constraints. Of course, three different parameters or criteria are important there. The first one is, how do we really do this in a minimally or non-invasive way? How do we make sure that this is scalable over time? And how do we account for site-specific differences as you move from location to location? And of course, we found promises in the use of satellite-based technologies to estimate yield. This was a paper that was released in 2017 by Burke and Lobel, and of course, they were looking at the possibility of using satellite-derived product to account for yield variation and its determinant in smallholder farms. The question is this accurate enough, you know, at 0.39 R-squared value in terms of the measured versus the observed, the predicted versus the observed yield. And, you know, there are opportunities, and of course, one of the exciting innovation that we've seen, virtually everybody here being initiated in the circle, is the possibility of using fine resolution imageries to be able to get at this question of how do we account for yield and yield variation at scale. But this is not new. That's an interesting thing. I found out that about three decades ago, or almost four decades now, there was this research that was looking at prediction of grain yield using spectral information. I believe remotely sensed spectral information. Very good house correlation factor there, 0.92. So definitely we can leverage on this existing knowledge to be able to improve on ability to understand yield variability within farmers' field. So we decided to do a proof of concept, adopting a UAV within small border farming system to see the possibility or assess the possibility of actually using this tool to address this challenge or this need. The overall hypothesis, which is definitely, you know, more like overarching, is that fine resolution spectral information would help us and is sufficiently robust to really characterize biophysical variables and by extension be able to predict or estimate yield within smallholder farmers' field. I'll quickly run through this conceptual workflow because it's a bit different to, I think, what I've seen, you know, so far in practice. So what we did, or what we conceive as a way to go, is to fly the UAV to cover farmers' field, which are shown in a round dot, and also nutrient emission trials, which are experimental setup. From literatures that have been piling up or increasing over the past 3-4 years, I think we've seen evidence from research or experimental plots that UAV can do this, UAV can do that. But the question is, can you really do it? There's a slogan we have in development world that say, take it to the farmers. Can this really help smallholder farmers? And oftentimes, I think now there's this increasing trend of trying to sell UAV technology and application to African countries, but the question is this really matching for this geography or for the systems? So here we use the UAV to collect UAV-based imagery. Of course, we have UAV-derived indices such as the NDVI, which is what I'll focus on. And also we collect plot level measurements from the farmer's field and within NOT, the nutrient emission trials. And of course, we relay the plot measurements to biophysical variables. For example, plot level measurement of yield, relay that to biophysical variables to really test if there's a relationship on ground. Then, of course, we actually relate the plot level measurement to the UAV derived indices. Okay, I'll have to rush through a lot of the other slides because this is more of a concept. So this, I said I was going to present results from a location, and that would be Bunkure, which is located in the northern part of Nigeria. It's located in a state called Kano. And zooming in here, it's a maize-based system. We conducted UAV flight missions at 4 weeks after planting and 8 weeks after planting. We had lots of challenges with the farm in terms of recruiting farmers, because you can't just hijack and to go and take measurement in a farmer's field. And of course, we had limited area that we could cover that would include volunteer farmers' field and also the nutrient emission trials. But again, recall that this is a proof of concept. So we use the Hebe UAV. I think the previous speaker have done justice to explaining this, and we use the multi-spec 4C as well. This is a generic workflow, which has been explained as well by others. I think the important thing to note here is what goes into this mix of really making sure that farmers' rights are protected in terms of assessing their field, and also conducting reconnaissance survey to make sure that we can truly use the UAV without breaking our $25,000 investment, because we bought it about 3 years ago. It was quite expensive. Like I said, we collected NDVI and grain yield. I'll rush through this because of time. I would be happy to answer questions afterwards. We did a post-processing and a PIX4D. The important thing to note here is that this platform really works well. As the previous, I think Amanda mentioned, it's really, really helping us to get down to at least acceptable level of accuracy, in terms of the final product, the DSM, the orthomosaic, and the reflectance band, of course, the vegetation index as well. Now, this is probably the fun part, because you can't just predict. You have mixed maize and okra and other crops exist in the landscape. You can't just predict yield on across the entire pixels that are covered in your imagery. So we adopted a maximum entropy modeling, which of course is useful insect and I think more of invasive species modeling for presence and absence. But it worked really well to really differentiate between time out. It worked really well to differentiate between the different crop types. And definitely this was a test as well, because I haven't seen this being applied in the context of differentiating between crops. But an important thing here is that by doing the maximum entropy of modeling of maize presence and absence, we're able to create a mask. Of course, we use the DSM as well to threshold for trees and buildings. And we are only eventually able to estimate yield based on the pixels where you truly have maize being present. Now my time is up, and I'll just run through this. I do. Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So the major point. Okay. I think an image is lost here. I'm not sure what had happened, but the major point here was that the maximum entropy model actually helped us to get up to almost 80% classification accuracy in terms of maize is present or maize is absent. And of course, we used the bands, including the NDVI, that are derived from the multi-spec platform as the environmental layer that went into the maximum likelihood modeling, which is the basis for the maxent or the maximum entropy modeling. I think we're having a little bit of a tech glitch, but the important thing here is to look at the relationship, the agreement between the measured NDVI and the UAV derived NDVI. Fairly okay. I mean, it could be better, but R-square of 0.76 at 4 weeks and R-square of 0.61 at 8 weeks were considered fairly acceptable, given the resources that we had at our disposition. But when we look at farmers' field, which is what I show here, we see that there's a degrade or the sort of decomposition of the R-square value. Of course, we think this will have implication for how well we can be able to estimate yield within the system. And, there's a lot of things that could go into this process. Of course, differences in management, differences in the cultivar or the breed that the farmers are planting within their farms. Now, I think the last part, which is most relevant, will be to look at how the yield relates to NDVI. We got a R-square of about 0.50 at 4 weeks after planting, and it got better at 8 weeks after planting. Certainly complementary to what has been reported in the literature, because at this stage, the maize is actually silking, the grains are being filled, and it's a critical stage in terms of the final grain yield. Okay, because of time, I'll just finalize here to say that we actually got a very reliable yield estimate here in the NOT, in the nutrient emission trial. The average measured across the nutrient condition and variety conditions was about 4.4 tons per hectare, and the UAV derived yield was about 4.51 tons per hectare. In farmers' field, we have limited numbers, so we can't make a very strong statistical inference about this. This was data from 2016, 2017. We're able to recruit more farmers, but we just completed the season measurement and processing, and data are now being analyzed. Major point here is that we noticed that there was a systemic overestimation of yield in farmers' field. And you know, looking back at the data and the imagery, we realized that I think the wheat that are present in farmers' field, which are not controlled for, may have played a very critical role in this overestimation. And of course, this goes into the conclusions that we made that yes, it's possible to use UAV in those farming systems. Maybe we have to tweak our methods. Initial results indicate that yield assessment is possible as well, but sample size is limited for this conclusion. And finally, I think we have to tweak our method to account for yield or any other parameters or variables that could account for inflation of the NDVI. Maybe look at the different index altogether. With this, thank you very much, and I apologize for going over my time.
No, it was fantastic, Jerry.